Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Rest, Why You Get More Done When You Work Less, by Alex Soojung Kim Pang, is a nonfiction book about productivity, creativity, and the neglected role of recovery in serious work. Pang, a technology thinker and historian of science, challenges the assumption that longer hours automatically produce better results. Instead, he argues that high-quality work depends on a deliberate relationship between focused effort and restorative time away from work. The book draws on psychology, neuroscience, biography, and examples from writers, scientists, artists, and leaders to show that rest is not idleness but part of the productive process itself. Its purpose is both corrective and practical to replace the culture of constant busyness with a more sustainable model of achievement. Rather than treating rest as a reward after work is finished, Pang presents it as a condition that enables concentration, insight, stamina, and a healthier life over the long term. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, deliberate rest is an active part of productive work. The central idea of rest is that rest should not be understood as mere inactivity or escape from responsibility. Pang uses the phrase deliberate rest to describe recovery practices that are intentional, structured, and supportive of future work. This includes sleep, walks, exercise, hobbies, naps, vacations, and periods of mental disengagement that allow the mind to recover from direct concentration. The important distinction is that deliberate rest is chosen and protected, not simply what happens after exhaustion. Pang argues that many people confuse being available, busy, or mentally preoccupied with being productive. In that state, neither work nor rest functions well. By contrast, deliberate rest creates clear boundaries. One works with full attention during work periods and disengages fully during rest periods. The reasoning is practical as much as philosophical. Concentrated intellectual effort is limited, and when people push beyond that limit, the quality of judgment, creativity, and attention declines. Rest, therefore, becomes a tool for preserving the conditions under which good work is possible. Secondly, work and rest as partners rather than opposites. A major contribution of the book is its rejection of the common opposition between work and leisure. And Pang argues that the most productive lives are not built by maximizing work and minimizing rest, but by designing a rhythm in which each supports the other. This reframes rest from a moral weakness into an element of craft. The book repeatedly shows that accomplished people often maintain intense but limited periods of focused work, followed by activities that appear unrelated but help sustain performance. This pattern matters because creative and analytical work depend on mental freshness, not just time spent at a desk. Pang also emphasizes that rest can continue the work indirectly. When conscious attention moves away from a problem, the mind may still reorganize ideas, notice patterns, or prepare solutions. The implication is that stopping work at the right moment can be more productive than pushing until attention collapses. This view is especially relevant for knowledge workers, whose output depends less on visible effort than on the quality of thinking. Thirdly, with shorter focus workdays and the limits of useful effort, Pang challenges the prestige attached to long hours by distinguishing productive concentration from accumulated busyness. One of the book's most discussed claims is that for many forms of creative and intellectual labor, the most valuable work may occupy a relatively small part of the day, often around several hours of deep effort. This does not mean that everyone should work the same schedule or that all jobs can be compressed in the same way. Rather, Pang uses the idea to question whether additional hours actually add meaningful output. In many workplaces, long days are filled with meetings, interruptions, email, and low-value tasks that create the appearance of commitment while weakening attention. The book's reasoning is that demanding mental work consumes limited cognitive resources, and once those are depleted, more time can produce worse decisions and poorer creativity. This argument is not an endorsement of laziness. It requires more discipline, because the worker must protect deep work, stop before deterioration sets in, and avoid using busyness as a substitute for progress. Fourthly, the creative value of mind, wandering, walking, and unfinished problems, rest gives particular attention to the ways insight can arise when people step away from direct effort. Pang discusses rest as a condition for mental incubation. A problem is first loaded into attention through focused work, then left alone while the mind processes it indirectly. Activities such as walking, exercise, and absorbing hobbies are especially important because they occupy the body or surface attention without requiring the same kind of analytical control. This helps explain why solutions often appear during a walk, after sleep, or while doing something unrelated. Pang also notes the usefulness of stopping work before every question is fully resolved. Leaving a task unfinished can make it easier to restart the next day, because the mind retains a loose thread to pick up. The point is not mystical inspiration, but a realistic account of cognition-conscious effort is necessary. But it is not the only mode of thought. By making room for unfocused attention, rest expands the conditions under which new associations and better solutions can emerge. Lastly, a critique of overwork culture and constant availability beyond individual productivity, rest is a critique of the social environment that makes overwork seem normal. Peng argues that modern work culture often treats exhaustion as evidence of seriousness and availability as evidence of value. Digital communication intensifies this problem because work can follow people into evenings, weekends, vacations, and moments that once allowed recovery. The book does not simply tell readers to relax, it examines why rest has become difficult to defend. Many workers tie identity and worth to visible labor, while organizations often reward presence more than output. Peng's response is to make rest intellectually and economically legitimate. If overwork reduces creativity, concentration, health, and long-term performance, then it is not a badge of excellence but a flawed operating model. This argument also has organizational implications. Employers who want sustained high-quality work need to respect recovery, boundaries, vacations, and rhythms of concentration. The book's challenge is therefore cultural as well as personal. It asks readers to reconsider what real commitment and real productivity look like. In conclusion, rest is most useful for knowledge workers, creative professionals, leaders, students, and anyone whose work depends on sustained attention rather than sheer physical presence. It will also interest readers concerned with burnout, work design, and the psychology of creativity. Its practical benefit lies in making rest concrete. Readers can reconsider daily schedules, protect focused work, take breaks more seriously, use exercise and hobbies as recovery, and treat sleep and vacations as part of performance rather than interruptions to it. Its intellectual benefit is broader. Peng helps explain why the modern cult of busyness is often inefficient and why the mind may need alternation between focus and disengagement to do its best work. Compared with many productivity books, Rest stands out because it does not offer another system for doing more tasks. It questions the premise that more activity is the right goal. It also differs from simple wellness advice by grounding its argument in historical patterns, scientific research, and the working lives of accomplished figures. The result is a balanced book that is neither anti-work nor narrowly self-help. It is a practical argument for designing work around human limits so that excellence, health, and creativity can reinforce one another. If you would like to support Alex Soojung Kim Peng, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.